In a couple of weeks' time, many people will take the plunge and eagerly and bravely install the latest offering from Microsoft for consumers, Windows Millennium. Imagine how helpful it would be if, when you inserted that CD into the CD-ROM drive and took a deep breath, it automatically detected that you had a Braille display, and the installation proceeded with all the instructions you needed popping up there in Braille. Well, don't get excited, because it's not going to happen. But there is an operating system where that does happen, and it is a distribution of Linux that has just been released. SUSE Linux version 7 has this capability and more. It has a screen reader built right in to the operating system. Volker Wiegand is president of SUSE. He joins me now to explain how it all works.
As far as the software is concerned, it's all in. What you need is the device. And the press release was a little bit confusing with that. Of course, we do not sell special hardware for blind people, and it is not part of our distribution, because not many people, compared to the number of users overall, use this technology. But what you get is actually the device drivers and the daemon that is reading the line and is changing it into the Braille readable output. And also, if you have the corresponding hardware, you have the voice output.
In the blindness technology industry, there are screen readers both for Windows and there are even now one or two for the Linux operating system. Would you consider this functionality that you have built in to be a fully fledged screen reader?
When you talk about screen readers, what we support here are command line oriented, meaning text-based screen readers. And that in that respect, it is fully grown up. You can read a line of text, and you can position the cursor on any line in the text. Modern devices support 80 characters, which is a standard screen output size. There are also, let's say, last but one generation readers that have 40 characters per line, and they will have to shift left half, right half. But in principle, of course, it takes longer to read the whole screen, but there is a restriction on the programs you can run. It's obviously very difficult to run graphical user interfaces with that, so you are still restricted to text mode. But there are mail programs that run perfectly in text mode. Pine is a mail email program that I use personally, even within my graphical mode. And there is also Lynx, which is a web browser that can be used for surfing the web. So full fledged is a little bit too optimistic, but you can do the, let's say, the things that are most interesting today. Now you can do these things, and that's email, web browsing, for example. You can do these even if you are visually impaired.
As well as Braille displays, the product also works with speech synthesizers, correct?
Yes. This is an added function, added feature, and that of course helps a lot when it comes to the speed.
When you have Linux installed with this technology enabled, is it possible using a series of keys to, for instance, move around the screen a line at a time, or a word at a time, or a character at a time, and hear feedback from, say, the speech synthesizer, or read it on your Braille display?
Yes, that is how it's going to work. When you move around the screen, the current line is always transferred via the serial output of the computer to the Braille device, and there you can read it. And depending on the application, and this has to be configured, of course, depending on the application, also the content of this line is sent to the speech device.
And for those who have Braille displays with cursor routing technology, you're also supporting that, I believe.
Yes, that is correct.
So that will be very useful, just by pushing the little button at the top of the cell or wherever it happens to be, your cursor can immediately jump to that point. What speech synthesizers are you supporting at this point?
I think that right now it supports everything that goes through the ALSA, which is the Advanced Linux Sound Architecture. And that means that that is the basic device drivers for the sound. I have right now no idea what the speech synthesizers are, to be honest.
Right. Now, what made you decide to put some development work into making this product accessible in this way?
Well, it's customer demand. I mean, at the end of the day, Linux has to prove that it is usable in many areas. And there are many blind people, or there are many visually impaired people who also want to take part in the internet age. And of course, we have to do everything we can to not to exclude them. So this is we have seen a lot of feedback on discussing this, and so we believe that it is a good idea to include it. And since it is not too difficult to do it from the technical point of view, it is something that we were able to include in our product on a very general scale.
And is this whole package, the installation package, available for download on the web?
You don't have to install anything. If you use our SUSE Linux 7.0, which is the first package that, or the first version of SUSE Linux that has it included, what happens actually is when you install that, the serial port is, at installation time, is pulled for this Braille reader. And if it detects that there is a reader, it will redirect the installation process from the screen to the Braille reader. And then it will start up automatically in this mode, and it will include the daemon in the system startup. So the only thing that you have to do is start up Linux for the first time, for the installation time, when this device is installed and powered on, and that it will detect it automatically and will configure itself to use it.
How about for those who don't have a Braille display but do have a speech synthesizer, or they have a need as a blind person to have speech output but don't have Braille?
Oh, I don't know. We have not. This catches me unaware. I don't know what to do then.
Mm.
I know that the activation method is actually the Braille reader.
Yeah.
Maybe this is something, I don't know if my colleagues have an answer for that, my techie colleagues, but for me this is the starting point, and I haven't tried it out yet, so I don't know what happened.
Absolutely. I suppose one of the things that I've observed in my work on this program and others is that Braille displays are a lot more common in Europe, for instance, than they are in the United States or, say, Australia and New Zealand.
Well, to be honest, I do not have enough statistical data to comment on that. I know that in Europe they are quite common. Mm. The laws in Europe, of course, try to give equal chances to everyone, and this technology is available, and so of course it makes sense to use it.
Do you happen to, off the top of your head, have a kind of an indicative list of the Braille displays that it supports?
Well, I'm not a technician, but what I can say is that in Germany there are 3 or 4 devices that are supported. And if I look at our German press release, I know that there are companies, there's a German company which is called Papenmeier, and another company that is called Handytech. There is a Dutch company that is called Elva, A-L-V-A. And there is a German manufacturer called Baum, B-A-U-M. These are the 4 that are currently working and that we have tested. But the device drivers for other devices are in early stages, but I have no current information on that.
Now, all of those are familiar names and all excellent quality Braille displays at that. So when you... if you want to obtain this particular distribution of Linux, is the whole distribution...
It is not a particular distribution, Jonathan. It is the... Every distribution we distribute has that functionality built in. It's only whether it's activated or not. This is our standard product.
Sure. And what I'm saying is that if people want to get your distribution as opposed to, say, Red Hat or Zip Slack or something else, do they purchase that, or is that entire distribution downloadable?
Well, usually customers purchase it. It can be purchased, of course, online via our www.zuse.com, where you can find the address of our shop. But you can also, in the United States at least, you can buy it with many large retail shops like CompUSA or Best Buy or others. So usually you buy it, but there is also a download version on our FTP server, yes.
I presume that would be quite large, though.
No, I mean, it doesn't add too much to the footprint. It's a daemon that translates, and of course the startup module, our graphical installation tool, yes, has some more knowledge of these devices, but it doesn't add too much to the footprint.
Yeah. But the distribution entirely, if one were to download it from the FTP site, is that a significant download?
Yes, it is. Our distribution is among all the distributions the most complete one. The number of packages is more than double of the next large distribution. And we have 6 CDs in this distribution right now, and if you consider that this is not enough, we also have a DVD on it, which has even more content. So yes, our distribution is quite large.
What's interesting to me about the whole Linux culture is that if you were to introduce this kind of functionality into an operating system, certainly people would pay a premium for it, and I would imagine that they would have to buy the technology separately, whereas you're just bundling it with the operating system. It's part and parcel of it. How do Linux developers get on when it comes to the bottom line, you know, making these sorts of initiatives profitable?
Well, of course, there are a lot of different models and a lot of different people do try a lot of different ways to get profitability out of Linux. Our own goal is to work in 2 areas. One is to make a good product based on Linux. And of course, it is not technology and it is not software that we sell, because it is mostly free software and we can't sell it. We don't have the right to sell it and we don't want to sell other people's work. But what we sell here is our expertise in packaging it and in supporting it, documenting, making it consistent, making it available for the user so that you don't have to go to the different sources on the internet and collect it and try to fix the problems and so on all of yourself. So that is our expertise, what we sell. And the second part of our business model surrounds and circles around professional services, which is offering training, consulting, and business support for enterprise markets. And of course, other people have developed many other business models, but mostly it's around about delivering services.
And the whole concept of the general public license, I suppose, means that there may be even blind programmers who start to use the technology that you now have built into your latest distribution and perhaps make additions to it.
Yes, that is the whole idea about Linux. I mean, the Free Software Foundation and the new general public license, they do not center around the idea of having everything without money. But they center around the idea that the whole technology should be accessible to everyone without paying for it, and to give the ability to contribute, to scrutinize, to be transparent, to be educated. That is the idea, and of course that is also the idea behind Linux. It is an operating system where many can contribute, both private and professional programmers. And everyone is free to find bugs in it and to fix it instead of waiting for an update from a company.
there will be people listening to this program who are blind and are listening under Windows. We have a number of Linux users, and they make very interesting contributions. But for those who have never installed a distribution of Linux before, and maybe this is what's going to motivate people to give it a try, is it possible to install Linux on the same partition, or your particular version of Linux, on the same partition as you have a Windows operating system, or do you need to develop a separate partition for the Linux installation?
For our standard product, and that includes our standard product, you have to have your own partition. What you can do is, on the CD, there are tools to reduce a Windows partition in size so that a Linux partition will fit on the same hard disk. And so it helps, but if you cannot do it without having any kind of partition.
So that means, though, that with the tools that you provide, it's possible to do all that without having to reformat.
Yes, that is correct.
That's excellent.
You have to have space left. I mean, on a hard disk that is full, you can't do anything. So, but if you have a Windows partition that is not covering the entire disk or is not full, you can repartition on the fly. But of course, it is always a good idea to have a backup. That is not a secret at all. And you can repartition, and then you can start the installation.
Do you have any benchmark in mind? Would you say somebody should at least have, 100 megs, 500 megs free before they try this?
I think that we recommend, for a minimum system, you should have half a gigabyte free, yes.
Right. One of the things that is worrying some blind Linux users even is the trend towards the graphical environment even under Linux. Do you have any plans
Yes.
to address that issue in the future for blind people?
Well, the general trend, of course, is going to more and more user friendliness but that doesn't take into consideration that blind people might find it difficult. We are dependent on the hardware technology that is available. What we can do right now is we can support the Braille devices, and we can keep support for text mode applications. That is the best we can do right now. And there are text mode applications for things like Office. I mean, you can write perfect text with Tesh, which is a typesetting system that many people use for producing the highest quality of books, and the input to Tesh is completely text-based. And you can also have things like mail browsers and web browsers in text mode. And what we can do is we can make sure that we have these programs on our distribution for a long time. And if the hardware technology advances and you can have screen readers that can give you the input of the graphical screen, of course we will work on including these also.
Yeah, so do you think it's more a hardware issue or a software issue, in the sense that under Windows there's been a lot of work done, and people charge big dollars for it, of course, to kind of get right into the depths of the operating system and take the text out of graphical applications and present them in a way that are accessible to Braille displays and screen readers? Is that eventually going to be what some software developer under Linux does?
It is probably what is going to happen, but the model of Linux is not as predictable as it is, for example, under Windows, because there is not so much business interest, but it is the personal, let's say, enthusiasm and hobby that drives the further development in Linux. If there is a market, then probably professional companies will pick up this more and more. But until now, Linux has been very popular among young internet professionals. I don't know a better name for that. And so as Linux is entering fields where it is going beyond the geek market, probably this is becoming more interesting, and we are just the first ones to introduce that into a standard product. And it is for us, it is also an undiscovered country. So we are curious. We are, of course, very excited about these new possibilities. And usually Linux sort of conquers all the areas where business is being done. and we will see what comes here and what others have to say.
So I suppose there could be a myriad of ways under Linux, because there are no kind of officially sanctioned standards, I imagine, that text can be provided in a graphical environment, and therefore there'd have to be a myriad of ways of actually decoding that text from the graphical content.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And for example, I would imagine that if more and more demand is sensed for that, that for example the X window system, which is the basic window or the basic graphical user interface fundamentum. I mean, that's the basic layer. It's a little bit different than it is in Windows, where everything is in one environment. In Linux, you have the X window system, and on top of that, you have window managers and so on. But I would imagine that the X window system might see drivers, input and output drivers, when more people demand that.
Given that there are already a couple of products out there, for instance, you've got Emacs Speak, which TV Raman has been working on for a very long time now, and then you've also got SpeakUp, the general Linux screen reader for the blind, did you consider kind of, using the general public license to license some of that technology, or was it just easier to write it from scratch?
To the best of my knowledge, the things that are here have been written from scratch, but I'm not an expert, and I'm not even familiar with the names that you gave, so I'm sorry I'm not able to answer these questions.
No, that's fine. Well, it's really exciting that somebody who's putting an operating system package together has included this, you know, it's not as an optional extra that you have to order, but actually built into the package. That's a real breakthrough, I'm sure, that blind people will appreciate. And I thank you for coming on the program. Hopefully, as things develop, we can speak again as you continue to progress this work.
Yes, I'd be happy to do that.